I love you.
Hi, and welcome to Bebo's Legends Podcast, Episode 2, Pilot Part 2. My name's Carrie, and I'm joined by some other lovely co-hosts today.
It's me, Elias, again.
And it's Yunwen.
Hello, Katie.
We've got nearly the whole team in. Nisi could not make it tonight, but hopefully she'll be here next week. We're a rewatch podcast, so we watch an episode of Legends of Tomorrow, then we come and we discuss it all for everybody to listen to. That's basically what we're doing here. So this week we watched the second episode of the first season of Legends of Tomorrow, and it was directed by Glenn Winter. It was written by Greg Berlanti, Mark Guggenheim, Andrew Kreisberg, and Phil Klemmer. It was released on January 28th, 2016, with 2.89 viewers. Wow. Opposed to the 3.21 million that tuned in for the first episode. And if anybody at home hears random noises throughout the recording of this podcast, this is my dog. So, pilot part two, what did we think?
Overall, I thought it was a pretty good episode, but there's still some pieces that weren't as good, but not as many as in the first one for me.
It was a really fun episode. I didn't love it, but I like it.
I mean, that's all right. We can work with that. Like, we can work with liked but not loved. I mean, I personally thought it had a lot of action in it. Like, there was quite a lot of, like, little fights going on throughout the episode, which I really enjoyed. So that was good. But yeah, I think, like, what I wrote down was, episode was okay. I don't feel like it's very memorable, but I think it's because I know what's going to come ahead. And I know how good it gets, so everything else is just a bit like, meh.
Same, but I've got like one scene that's like forever in my memory.
Okay, which one is it? Like a favourite scene or a least favourite scene? Because my favourite scene is when, what's her name? Oh my god, Sarah and Stein and Jax go and get me young Stein, and Sarah's like, I can't.
Near thing.
I love them both. That's one of my favorite scenes.
Really?
Well,
I think one of my favorite scenes is after the fight scene to get back Weisu. Then when Sarah says, "And you all have a lovely evening."
Yeah, that's a good one.
No. The scene I'm referring to is actually my favorite scene in this episode, and it's Sarah knocking out Yang Stein with a bong and then stealing those three joints.
I think, like, I wrote down that literally my favorite part was the entire sequence of them being with Yang Stein, from Sarah flirting with him, to them knocking him out, to smoking with him, to old Martin, telling Sarah that he thought she was a sexy assassin. I loved it all. That entire sequence was so good. Did you have a least favorite part?
I think probably, like, I said in the first episode that I'm really, really bad with names. So, Hawk Guy thingy.
Yeah. Prince Kofu, right? Carter. Is that right?
Carter. Yes, Carter. Trying to kiss Kendra.
I know.
I know.
Take a hint.
Just know.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
He doesn't love you.
Yet.
He doesn't love you. I mean, I think my least favorite part was the entire thing with Captain Cold and Ray Palmer stealing the stuff, and they get stuck in like the big cage thing. I get that they were trying to give a little bit of depth to the characters, but I found it just like really boring. It's a bit like, right, where's the action? Like, yous are stealing stuff, yous are being caught by Vandal Savage, there's gonna be guns, there's gonna be explosions. And there wasn't. He was just kind of like, call your friends with your communications device. Her 16.
Yep.
I think that's also my least favorite scene.
Yeah, Katie, 100%. I wanted more.
Yeah.
More action.
It was so dull. Like, no action. It's not interesting.
I think that it might have fit in okay in another episode, but because this particular episode had a lot of fights and it had a lot of action, it just kind of seemed a bit blah in amongst it all. I don't know. That's just my personal opinion. There's nothing wrong with it. It was good, but I wanted more.
Yep.
So what did you, we'll go around, we'll go one at a time. What was the most meaningful and profound moment in the episode for you? What point did you think, oh, that was important to the storyline?
I don't know.
There's Jesus Christ, you caught me off guard with this one.
Dead air.
I have no idea.
I have no idea.
I don't either. I honestly am asking a question that I don't know the answer to myself.
I think probably Rip telling Snarge that Kendra is the only one that can kill Savage.
I get that. I was going to say that for me it was when Kendra realizes that she could use the dagger, or like they could use the dagger to kill him, that things that were present when she died, like that memory coming back to her, was pretty important.
But the memory that they could use everything that was with them the night they first died didn't come back yet.
No, but she has the sort of information that she can use this dagger. I don't know. I don't remember precisely how. I think she already knows that they can use objects linked to their death. Does she know that out in Arrow?
Nope. That I don't know because I haven't seen Arrow.
Might use like a big staffy thing to kill him. Or they do. They do kill him, but it wasn't them that done it. It was the Flash and the Green Arrow that done it. That's why I came back.
But she knows that the dagger can kill Savage because he used the dagger to kill them.
Yeah, I mean, right, okay, so if you're listening at home, please Instagram us when Kendra finds out that she can use any object linked to her death or past to kill Vandal Savage, because none of us remember, so if you know...
I know when.
Oh, what?
It's when she sees the bracelet on Savage's daughter. In, like, far away.
Okay, here's the thing, though. I've seen on the internet, like, in a lot of places, after Katie in that GalaxyCon panel was all like, Vandal Savage had a daughter? Nobody can seem to remember that Vandal Savage had a daughter. Like, everybody's...
It wasn't important.
Huh? Yeah, see, you think that, but she actually was, if you think about the role that she played. However, we're skipping ahead, like, a whole bunch of episodes.
Yeah.
But yeah, that fun fact, no one remembered. Any other meaningful moments?
No.
What was your general takeaway from the episode? Like, what did you walk away from it thinking? Like, did you think anything or not?
Yes, did I relate to Sarah so much after she stole those joints?
I should have known that that's what you were gonna say. I should have known all along.
Sorry.
Right, I wrote down a whole bunch of stuff that I wanted to talk about during the episode. So, okay, here's one thing that really, it just, I guess it's not massively important because pronunciation of things is not always like a real stickler. However, right at the sort of first section of the episode, they're at the, what was it, like an illegal weapons.
A nuclear weapon. Bazaar.
Everybody's talking about this nuclear warhead and Sarah runs up to it and she goes, we've got a nuclear bomb. I was like, that's not how you say it. And it gets me every time. I think I've watched this episode about 20 times and every time she says nuclear, I'm like, nah, nah, God, that's not it.
You didn't notice.
You will now.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Everybody who's listening, I'm really sorry. It's one of those things I pointed out to you. You can't do it.
And maybe that's because your native language is English and neither you nor mine's are.
Yeah, but the thing is, right, my native language is technically English. However, Scottish people have their own version of English. This is just me being really pernicky. Like, I was like, nuclear. It's not the same thing. It's not. You'll notice it. I suggest you go back and watch it and you'll be like, so it is. I think I wrote down about 6 times, Sarah is a badass.
She's always a badass.
She's so powerful.
And also fighting those dudes from Savage Stones. I could never do that. I can barely move.
She's so badass. Like, she's so cool. Okay, what else did I write down? Anything that was remotely important, or did I just write down a whole bunch of... Oh, I did. I wrote down something that I thought you would like, Elias, because it plays into the fact that you can never remember people's names. At the beginning of the episode, literally within like the first 5 minutes, Mick calls Carter Birdman.
Oh,
he has names for everyone.
I love them. I think it's great.
Like haircut.
Yeah.
At one point he calls them the chicken people, and that always gets me. Like, every time he calls them the chicken people and says he's always hungry after they, like, pop out their wings. Like, see when someone...
Yes.
I love this impression that I'm doing right now, because it is so good. On this next page, I've literally wrote, Sarah Lambs kicks ass. Okay. So I wrote down that I felt like Rip Hunter literally never has anything good to say. Everything that comes out of his mouth is moaning about something. He's complaining about something. You should have done this. You could have done it. And it's just like,
yes,
he's starting to get on my nerves a little bit.
Yes.
A little bit annoying.
Yeah. I mean,
I remember it wasn't while I watched this episode for the first time, but like 5 or 6 episodes in, I texted Nisi, I really hate Rip.
I mean, from what I've seen of the guy that plays him,
complaining about everything.
Yeah. It's just crack a joke once in a while, like, you know? I mean, he does eventually get
positive.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think, yeah, that I wrote that down. I thought that he'd been a bit of a negative Nelly. Also, did you guys notice that Damien Dark was at the thingy?
When I rewatched it today, I was like, wait, Damien Dark was there? What the heck?
Yeah.
Why was he there? Why do we think that, what was the significance of bringing him in at that stage, do we think?
I think for those who didn't watch Arrow in the first place, to like see him again and be like, wait, I remember you. And to like make this time travel thing of him and being an evil mastermind a bit more explanatory, whatever, because he wouldn't be in the 70s if he would have been killed in like 2015 or what it was, looking the same he did in 2016.
That was from the, oh my god, what was it called? Lazarus Pit in Arrow.
As I said, I haven't seen Arrow.
Basically, a little bit of a... Have you guys seen Arrow?
Yeah.
So basically, in Nanda Parbat, where they've got
the League
assassins, they had a Lazarus
Pit. And I know that the Lazarus Pit was the one thing that brought Sarah back. But... Yeah. And it's like the youth fountain or something like that.
So in Nanda Parbat, where they have the League of Assassins, they have a magical hot tub, and basically it can fix you if you're hurt, or it can keep you young or whatever. And what's his name? Ra's al Ghul uses it to stay young, and Damien Dark was his predecessor, effectively, was his main competition to be Ra's, I guess. And to be like the lead of the League. And it was a whole contest thing that they had going on before Raz came Raz. Blah, 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 blah. So I think that he used the Lazarus Pit to live longer, because later in Legends Season 5, he says that he's like 100 and something years old. But maybe
he says that.
I don't know. But anyway, I think he's used the Lazarus Pit at this point to live longer than he should.
First off, I didn't know that Damien Dark was part of the League. Second off, that would also explain why he looks the same when he picks up young Nora from Ray and Sari.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to tell how much of that's because he's time traveling, because, like, at what point does he go back in time? But, because you don't really follow his journey at that point very closely, you just see him when he appears. But he definitely was using the Lazarus Pit. I'm pretty sure he makes an offhand comment about it once in a while. I don't know if it's in Legends or in Arrow, but yeah, basically Lazarus Pit, I'd say, is why he's, I don't know why. Oh, why were we talking about Damien Dark? Because I brought him up. Wow. Yeah, I think, I don't know the importance of him being at that weapon sale, but I kind of thought maybe it was because if you've watched Arrow before, you know that he's a bad guy, but if you haven't, you don't, and maybe they knew that they were going to want to use him as a bad guy moving forwards. I don't know, so they needed to introduce him or something. I don't really know. But yeah, it was cool that he was there. Any other points on the episode that anybody wants to throw in? Anything you have a burning desire to share with us?
Just the whole logic thing again. Why are they talking English in ancient Egypt?
I don't know, because it
does... Good point!
Flashback clip. Yeah, I feel like they probably just did that for, like, the cinematic experience, so that you weren't having to read subtitles the whole time unless you need them to know what there's... I don't know. Cut that out. I don't know. I have no answer.
Yeah, and to all the people listening, yes, you will get, like, logic points from me in pretty much every episode, I guess.
Because it's good to question things. We encourage that. So now that we've ran through our sort of basic thoughts and opinions on the episode, I thought that it would be nice to move into the quiz section. So what I'm going to say is you should have the option to...
Yeah. Or lower and raise your hand. You're on your laptop, then you have to go to participants, and then you have lower and raise hand. Oh yeah, because you're the host.
So let's use reactions then, because then we can all do it. So basically you should have a reactions button, and you should be able to do like a thumbs up or clapping hands or whatever. So if you know the answer to the question, you don't get to answer it unless you're picked, because otherwise we're all going to talk at once. It's going to sound crappy. But if you know it, put a thumbs up, and then I'll ask, and then if it's you that's asking the questions, you can ask the person that you think put their thumb up first. Make sense?
Yes.
Yes.
Katie, are you good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Awesome. Okay, so I'm going to introduce the quiz section. So we're going to move on to our quiz questions, and I'm going to go first. So who gives the voiceover catch-up at the beginning of the episode? Wow. Elias.
Is it Sarah?
No.
I have no idea.
Katie, have you got any ideas?
No, I don't.
I'm going to take that as a point for myself then. It was Rip. He gives a catch-up of the previous episode. I'm actually pretty sure that Rip gives them all in season one. I don't know that they move on to their really cheesy rundown until later, but he didn't.
Okay. Because I'm watching it on Netflix and I skipped the like recap
Me
part.
Too.
Yeah, I skipped all the recap parts.
And it still has like one word or half of a word before it moves on to the episode as it should. And I thought it was a female voice actually.
Well, it was definitely Rip Hunter giving the voiceover at the start of the episode, and I'm just trying to keep you guys on your toes by, like, asking questions you're not going to expect. Okay, so, where are the legends at the beginning of the episode? Not, like, where as in they're in a chair, but, like, what country are they in? Elias, fast.
Norway.
Yeah, well done. Bonus point, not really a bonus point, because it's a hard one. When are they?
1975.
Exact date.
I can only give you 1975.
There's an exact date mentioned.
October 1975, but closer to that it doesn't get.
You're getting closer and closer. What's the date? What date is it? Like, in October, in 1975, it's the... Go!
21st!
You're so close, Matt. It's the 19th of 1975. Rip Hunter tells the team that's when they are. What university does Martin Stein go to?
Hudson!
Raise your hand, Mom!
Sorry, I forgot!
supposed to be a seasoned pro by this point, Elias. Go ahead.
What?
No!
Okay!
Any ideas?
No.
Katie, any ideas? You want to take a guess?
No.
Fair.
No.
It's Ivy Town. Just have the convention. It's all there. Everything you need to know. Okay, on entry to the illegal weapons sale, what does Leonard Snart say about his family to try and gain entry? Elias.
That he was right big on his mother's side.
Yeah. Yeah, well done. So that's pretty much all my questions. No, I've got one more. Bonus question! I've just found another one. And you guys should all know this one, so be ready to buzz in, okay, with your... I've lost it. What does Rip Hunter describe time like? Elias.
Cemented. It takes time to harden.
Yeah. Well done. Shit. So that's all for my questions. Does anybody else have something they want to ask?
I got one.
Go on.
Okay. Why is Thane's ring disappeared when they arrived to the Waverider? Okay.
I think I was before you, Kari. Because yes. Young Stein wakes up yes, and gets on. Onto the Waverider.
Yes.
So his ring disappears because he hasn't gone to meet his future wife yet, so time starts undoing itself.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Awesome. This been that was a good question. Katie, did you have any quiz questions?
Not really, because most of my questions were your questions, so they've already been said. So nope.
That's fair. Someone else go first.
I came up with one though.
Go on, man.
What does Martin Stein describe as the best points in his life, Kari?
It's when he meets his wife, Clarissa, and when he meets Jax. Was it right? I'm right, aren't I?
Yes, you are.
I know, I just remembered that from the episode, and it came to me, like, acting. okay, so let's move on to the next portion of the podcast, which is the Who Said It section. And this week, like I said, I actually remembered to write down quotes, unlike last week on two occasions when I forgot to do it both times. so, who said, I remember, I just don't care. Yes, go ahead.
Jon
Cole? I don't remember.
Yeah, well done. Great memory. Congratulations. wait, who said, I was tracking alpha particles while you were eating crayons? Yeah, go ahead.
Stein!
Yeah, but who did he say it to?
Ray?
Yeah, well done. Yeah. that was an easy one. Who said, I can't wait to get the hell out of these go-go boots?
Yeah. Sarah.
Yeah.
Put your freaking thumbs up!
Follow the rules! okay. Who said, do not finish that sentence? Oh, that was really close. But for the sake of the podcast, that was really close, guys. Well done. Katie, who said it?
The Oda Stein.
Yeah, bonus bonus point. Who did he say it to? Elias?
Younger Stein.
No!
No!
Sarah.
Yeah, okay. bonus point. What was she saying that he replied it to?
I know.
Go on.
So you think I'm sexy?
Yeah, she goes, oh, you think I'm set? And he goes,
do not finish that sentence.
But doesn't he say it to Young Stein on the ship as well?
That's not what we're talking about. Okay, you're wrong. You're wrong when I say you're wrong. Take it. It's fine.
I looked it up and I'll... say it.
Uh-huh, sure you will. Yeah, you're just going to fabricate evidence here. Okay, who said, in another life, you could have been an electrical engineer? Yep.
Ray, to Snart.
Well done. Well done. I think that's me on my quotes, by the way. I think that's everything that I wrote down. quotes wise. Oh, I did have written down, y'all have a lovely day, but we already talked about that. So, oh, here's a good one. If you weren't such a monumental jerk, yeah?
That one's old Stein to young Stein.
Yeah, good job. Does anybody else have any quotes that they want to fire out there? I know I did quite a lot of the memorable
ones. I have one.
Go on.
Who said, even unconscious, I could kick their ass?
Sarah. When Jax mentioned that she looks pretty stoned.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I was gonna click on the thing and you were just so fast. Like, you must have been sitting with your finger, like, ready to boost that there. I had no chance. No chance.
I have one.
Yeah?
Who said, you have a special kind of crazy?
Crickets and tumbleweeds. Go on, Katie.
Katie?
I think it's Mick to Stein.
Yes.
Well done!
I knew that that quote came from this episode, but I couldn't remember who said it.
I don't even remember it, so congratulations, Katie. Well done. I sucked at that. Do we have any more who said it? Speak now or forever hold your peace. Okay, good. Because I suck at them. Okay, we're going to play a quick would you rather. So basically how this works is I'm going to ask you a question. Would you rather this or this? And then we'll go around one at a time and you can say which one you would prefer and why. So I'm just going to introduce that segment, okay? It's time for our weekly would you rather. This week's question, would you rather be covered in fur or scales?
I have to look up what scales are real quick. Give me a second.
Like a snake has scales. Or fish. Fish have scales.
Ah, okay. Yeah, got it. I wasn't sure.
So it's basically like, yeah, would you rather be covered in fur? Like a bear or a dog? Or would you rather be like a reptile or something covered in scales?
So basically, what you're asking is, would you rather be a furry or a mermaid?
Yeah, totally. That's the question. You have to think about the practicalities of having each, though. Like, what would the practicalities of fur be? It would keep you super warm, but like scales, pretty cool. I don't know what scales do for your body. Listeners, tell us what scales do for your body. Elias, Google it.
I'm sorry, but I definitely have an answer to this one.
Go on.
Fur, like, for freaking sure. I don't want to be a bloody reptile or fish.
But mermaids are cool. Think Aquaman.
Nah.
Have scales, but like, he's basically a merman.
Nah.
Elias, what are you doing to your face? Are you okay? Everything all right?
yeah, just nicotine shitties.
I was like, seriously, like, it looks like, this is what I can see. This way. Let's pretend this to look like this.
No, just nicotine shitties.
Okay, so yeah, anyone else have an answer to the would you rather?
No.
Well, you already said fur, so.
Okay.
The whole point in this is you don't have a choice, you're answering the question.
Katie?
I guess for me, I would choose fur as well. I don't want to be a reptile. I don't need scales, okay? It's not even a good option. I think I have fur right now.
I would pick fur. I think I would look majestic with fur. Like a lion or a bear.
Sure.
Yeah, totally. No, I think the general consensus is fur. We should have thought to ask Nisi what her answer would be right at the start of the episode, but...
Her answer is going to be fur.
Fair. I mean, that's how that question was going to go, but awesome. Okay, the next segment on our podcast this week is going to be our hypothetical fight. So for a quick roundup on that, for the people who didn't listen to last week's show, I was listening to Stephen Amell's podcast, How'd You Do It? And he has a segment called The Hypothetical Fight, where you take two characters, two people, and discuss what would happen if they had a fight. You take it seriously and fully immerse yourself in the details. And basically, I thought that was a really cool segment. So we are borrowing his segment. Thank you very much, Stephen Amell. No, you don't need to make your joke about the legend stealing stuff this week. We all heard it last week and it was funny, the six takes that it took us to get it right in the podcast. So the next segment we're going to do is the hypothetical question segment. And a little backstory on this, I was listening to Stephen Amell's podcast, How'd You Do It? And a segment that he uses is the hypothetical question, where he puts forward two characters or people and you fully immerse yourself in discussing who would win this fight, how they would win it and why. And basically, I thought it was a really cool idea. So thank you very much, Stephen and Mel. Obviously, you're an avid listener of this podcast. So
today's hypothetical fight is going to be Ray Palmer with his Adam suit against Ant-Man.
Great question. Well done. That's really tough. I mean,
they basically have the same abilities.
Yeah, but not really, because Ant-Man obviously has his army of like ants and stuff. And I'm just trying to think about like the fights that Ant-Man done and the people he's been up against. And then Ray Palmer. But I think that I'm going to go with Ant-Man. And I'll tell you why. I feel like a short couple of months before Ray joined the Legends, he had to get the Green Arrow to control his suit for him because he doesn't have the fighting capability. His suit has the powers, but he's not really versed in hand-to-hand combat, whereas I feel like Ant-Man better knows how. He was sort of scrappy when he grew up. He better knows how to handle himself. So keeping in mind that they both have pretty similar powers and their suits are pretty much capable of the same sort of stuff. I mean, I know that Ray's got the guns and things on his suit, and I don't think that Ant-Man does, but they managed to use the same technology that Ant-Man has to time travel by itself, and Ray doesn't have that capability, so they're pretty evenly matched on the suits. So I think it has to go to their combat skills, and I'm going to give that to Ant-Man.
Yep. I'll have to go with Ant-Man too, mostly because I go with like the Thanos or Thanos or whatever his name is pronounced in English theory about before Endgame came out about Ant-Man and just crawling into Thanos' butt and enlarge.
He does similar idea.
Rasputin, yes.
When he goes inside him and then... So, I mean, yeah, that's a fairly plausible idea, but I don't think he would be able to use that move on Ray.
Didn't think of him, like, going into Ray. It sounds so weird. I thought more about, like, going into his suit and, like, disassembling it.
I mean, who can get smaller? Because if Ray's already small, Ant-Man would need to be able to be smaller than him to fit inside his suit, because otherwise it would just be two regular-sized guys trying to fit inside each mm-hmm. other's clothes.
I think that Ant-Man can be smaller than Ray, because, like, Ray has to stick to a certain amount of atomic numbers to go down there. And I think that Ant-Man's capable of going smaller than this.
Well, because he goes into, like, the other dimension, doesn't he? He gets so small that he...
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess that's a good point as well. So now that we have done our weekly hypothetical fight, I'm going to say that as a team, as a collective, we're going to go with Ant-Man as the winner. However, we're going to stick this up on our Instagram as well, and we would love for you to vote and let us know who you think would win and why. And we'll potentially look into releasing those results as like a collective, what the general consensus was after everybody's voted who wants to. Next week, we're going to be watching episode 3 of season 1 called Blood Ties, and then coming together as a team and discussing that episode. For everybody who's interested, we are looking into getting some prizes together for a competition that will be related to the podcast. So there will be a question that you have to answer, and it will be relating to something that we have discussed in an episode, and you'll need to know the answer. So whether it be you've got to go back and find it, or if you remember it. The prizes that we're looking at are going to be Legends of Tomorrow merch, but we also have got our own merch, which is hopefully coming soon. And there'll be some of it thrown in there, like a fun sticker or a badge or something like that to go along with your prize. So keep your eyes out for that information. It will likely be announced on a future podcast and on Instagram as well. So follow us at Bebo's Legends Podcast. We follow you back, so give us a follow. We'll like your pictures and it'll be all fun. There is a button on our Instagram that says email us. If you would like to send us some suggestions, you can send us a DM, you can email us. Or if you want to, I don't know, send any opinions that you have on anything we've discussed, or even just stop by to say hi. We welcome your feedback.
Join the DC fandom on August 22nd?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Coming up. They're being a bit sketchy with the details on what that's actually going to be. However, all the actors and writers, etc., that are involved in it are really bigging it up. Like, it's going to be something really cool. It's described as a 24-hour immersive fan event. So, yeah, look out for the DC fandom that's coming soon. So, yeah, look out for DC fandom coming soon. Yeah. So thank you, everybody, for joining us for episode 2 of our podcast. It's been lovely chatting to you. We're signing off from here. Bye.
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 Bebo's Legends Podcast, I la la love you too.